You're welcome back to the show. Now, our next segment is going to cover issues that some listeners may find upsetting because Women's Aid have launched a new Ally Action campaign. It calls on men to become allies in ending gender-based violence. So we've been looking at what work is already underway to try and educate and rehabilitate men who have been violent themselves to women. So our reporter, Josh Crosby, has been the one doing this. He's been speaking to those working in the area. And he has met a reformed perpetrator. So, Josh, tell me, there's groups out there working with men who assault their partners.
There are, Kieran. And look, it's not something we hear a lot about due to the sensitivity around this, but there are services that will work with survivors, victims, and also the perpetrators. They'll hold one-on-one sessions, weekly group meetings, and counselling for couples. One group, Move Ireland, runs a number of services. One of its main outlets would be the Choices Programme, and a lot of the work here would focus on cognitive behavioural therapy, which I suppose it examines motivation, responsibility, safety, and acknowledgement. And the men taking part are also taught mindfulness techniques to increase their self-awareness and to help with their own reactions. From those who have participated in the programmes and their partners, they really do see the benefits of them.
So did you speak to anyone then who's come through one of the programmes?
I did. Last week, Women's Aid was on News Talk detailing the harrowing abuse women are going through. The charity's figures show more than one in three have experienced psychological, physical and or sexual abuse from an intimate partner. So it was, look, on the other hand, insightful to meet with a man who once carried out this type of abuse himself. Due to having kids, he preferred to go by the name Joseph when talking on air. So Joseph is almost 40 and he openly admits that he was an abusive partner. He served a sentence for his assault, and it was through this that he came in contact with Move Ireland. We'll start off at the beginning of our chat, just to bring us back to the place he was in before going for his treatment, and just to remind people listening that what he recounts could be distressing.
When I was 7 years of age, so he was sexually abused in my home. So growing up, I grew up in Ballymun, disadvantaged area, wouldn't have had a lot. Probably would have been very, very angry growing up. I kind of bottled a lot of stuff inside and wouldn't talk to anybody about what happened. And in my later teens then, I started turning to drinking drugs just to kind of escape life, I suppose, and escape what happened. And unfortunately, that led into me late teens, and the anger was always there. Like, I was always lashing out on people and fighting and being abusive, I suppose. No matter who I was and what type of relationship, it could be a friendship, a relationship, I had to hurt everyone first because I was hurt, and I thought everyone was just out to hurt me, basically, you know. Got into me late teens then, I was taking a lot of cocaine and drinking a lot. Unfortunately then, when I was 23, I was sent to prison for 3 years for possession of drugs. Upon my release from prison in 2011, I met my partner, and things were good, very good at the start. There was no drug taken, there was no drink. Shortly after that, then we fell pregnant to my daughter, so things were really good. But unfortunately, then as time went on and life challenges got in, through obstacles in my way, I turned back to taking coke and being angry and aggressive again, I suppose.
The childhood trauma, I suppose, would have led to the drugs. The substance abuse then led to the paranoia, the anger. But
yeah.
What do you think made it acceptable in your head then for that act or like the assault? Like, how come that wasn't a step too far?
Yeah, so when I was taking so much cocaine that I actually had psychosis. And psychosis is not something that a lot of people will, I suppose when you're taking drugs, a lot of people will get paranoid, but this is probably one step above that. You could actually physically see things in front of you that aren't there, that aren't happening. It's really bad. And I accused my partner of sleeping with my friend. I actually genuinely believed that at the time. Now when I look back, I know that it wasn't the case, but at that time when I was taking drugs, I believed it. We had an argument one day, and it was just purely in my head that she was sleeping with him, and I put my elbow up against her neck, unfortunately, and forcibly pushed it against her neck and said that I'll kill you and him. So obviously that's not good. There's obviously a lot of guilt and a lot of shame around what I done. There's no excuse. I don't excuse it in any shape or form, and I don't want to be sitting here saying, look, I was taking drugs at the time and it's excusable. It's not. They were my actions, and I had to step up and take responsibility for my actions. I suppose what happened to me growing up, it's not the reason why I done that, but it probably has a small part to play in the excessive drug use, you know.
As you say, Josh, really serious stuff there, and we will share helpline numbers at the end of this conversation. So as you say, Joseph, as he wants to be described, he used those services from Move Ireland. There'd be people listening to it though wondering whether he's really rehabilitated himself You know, what kind of position is he in now?
Well, he told me, look, himself, that he'll never, ever again be taking drugs. He's back with his partner now. He lives a very different life, a much quieter life. But when you talk with those who run these types of sessions and who've gone through them themselves, they will all say the key is getting through to people at a young age. And this Ally Action List leans on this as well. So men of all ages and walks of life are being encouraged to speak up and call out what might be viewed as banter to some, but then it feeds into a misogynistic culture. The Men's Development Network runs a whole range of different services, such as coordinating the National Choices Programme, the Male Advice Line, and also this post-primary White Ribbon campaign. Now, White Ribbon has been rolled out in over 60 countries. So to find out about this particular programme that's aimed at younger men, I spoke with Sean Cook, who's the CEO of the Men's Development Network. I started off by asking Sean, what is the best way to reach and get through to people on this issue?
The first thing is, and it's really important in terms of anybody coming into these situations, that they feel that they're not being judged and that they're invited in to have these conversations, and that you create a safe space and a safe place in which to have these conversations where people can express their attitudes to things without thinking nobody's going to start picking on them. I think the other element is that you have to ensure that the space you're going in, you're not coming in to try and fix these young men or other men. You're not trying to fix them. You're just trying to make them aware of what actually is happening and how they can make changes and decisions and change their own attitudes, which is the transformative part of the work. And I think you're right. It is also about promote those wonderful men that live within our societies.
Do you guys notice they can be, I suppose, not aware of some of the language because of certain, we say, maybe online figures or celebrities that are kind of pushing misogynistic language and that? Do you find that?
I think what we're finding that they are being exposed to it. There's no doubt about that. Like, the Pandora is out of the box, as you say, in terms of the internet and pornography. Young men are exposed to that, and they're also exposed to people who represent a more hyper-masculinity and certainly will be presenting misogynistic perspectives on things. And, you know, when young boys, especially, and young men go look for their tribe, they're finding their way into down the rabbit holes and then get exposed to these type of kind of behaviours and understandings and attitudes. So that is happening. And I think that's why it's so critical. We do expose young men and boys to those positive models of masculinity, to those people who exist in their everyday lives, that they need to be seen to them. That's what one needs to aspire to.
So that's Sean Cook, as you said, Josh, the CEO of the Men's Development Network. Now, that White Ribbon campaign is for teenage boys, post-primary school. There's a school of thought you should start earlier, is there?
There is. And look, a lot of services provided by both Move Ireland and Men's Development Network would generally look be for over 18s. But to hear about the end result for someone who's gone through one of the programmes we've been talking about, we'll hear from Joseph again, who I played at the start. Now, he spoke at the beginning about what his life was like leading up to the assault on his partner. But we'll now start with the moment that it all caught up on him and he knew things needed to change.
I'll never forget standing in front of the judge, and my partner was brought into the courtroom to object to me bail. She had a conversation with the judge, and the judge asked her, "Are you in fear of this man?" And she said yes. And he also said, "Do you think that this man could potentially kill you?" And she said yes. So that was obviously really tough. Sorry.
Take your time.
That was obviously really tough to see the hurt in her, to see the damage that I was after doing. So things were starting to unfold, and I was like, look, this isn't good. Like, there's just small kids involved. So I actually approached my solicitor in the courtroom and said, look, I don't want to bail. I can't do that. I can't put her through this anymore. This has to stop. We have to go to prison. We need help. Like, going to prison was my last resort, my last hope of help. So a part of my prison sentence was to complete move when I got out. Thankfully, in prison, without the drugs, without the drink, without a clouded mindset, I suppose, I've done a lot of work on myself. Move helped me massively. Look, I still get angry, still get annoyed like everybody else, still get agitated, but it just taught me how to deal with my emotions and how to deal with my feelings and see trigger points and see what's unfolding in front of me rather than just force opportunity going and getting drink or drugs and or lashing out, as the case was back then.
Fast forward to today then, you're back with your partner and that trust is being rebuilt the whole time?
Yeah, slowly but surely. Look, we're back together. Things are really good, and I had to change my whole life, literally down to friends. I've phoned, I probably have 5 or 6 contacts in it. I don't associate with any of the old people that I used to. I go to the gym regularly, mentally. I have full-time employment. I spend a lot of time, obviously, with my partner and my kids, and constantly putting the work in for them to show them like that wasn't the real me, this is the real me. And I'm actually surprised how well things are going, but I suppose it's down to putting the work in and ourselves as well for letting me back in and giving me the opportunity to do it. But it can be done, like.
Yeah, listen, that was Joseph. As you say, Josh, he has used those services, the Move Ireland services. If you've been impacted by any of this, Move Ireland's number is 065-684-8689. And then Women's Aid, of course, their helpline is 1-800-341-900. Josh Crosby, thank you very much.
Thank you.